Welcome, everybody, to Whale Talks Wrestling, episode 116. We got AEW Grand Slam, Rampage Grand Slam, which was a two-hour show, which was nice. It was actually a fun show. I like when Rampage... I never understood the hand of Rampage. Like, I always liked that it was a quick hour of wrestling, but... And we got two New Japan reviews here. We got Music City Mayhem and Burning Spirit, which gave one of my favorite matches of the year so far. But we'll get into that and all in between. Alright, let's get right into it with AEW. AEW. You gotta say it like how MJF said it. AEW Grand Slam here. We started off with a big match right away. Let me get to my notes. Chris Jericho versus Claudio Castagnoli for the Ring of Honor World title. This was, like, kind of out of nowhere, but I kind of liked, like, I don't ever think I ever saw Jericho and Cesaro go at it. So, this is a very, very good match. I like this match. I think Jericho's been putting on really, really good performances. His match with Brian, Mr. Danielson over there last time, I thought was better than their pay-per-view one. That was a great, great, great match. But Jericho slaps Cesaro. I'm just going to call him Cesaro, okay? I like the name Cesaro more. Jericho slaps Cesaro, and then he goes nuts with the uppercut party over there. Cesaro hits a big running Yakuza kick while Jericho's draped on the rope, takes him out there. They fight it out on the outside for a little bit. Catching Swiss death on Jericho already for a near fall. Jericho does that superplex to the floor from the apron that he keeps doing. Oh, that shit looks rough every time. Looks very painful. Top rope Ricola bomb reversed into a Frankensteiner by Jericho. For another near fall. Big another Swiss death. Cesaro with the Brian elbows. Locks in the sharpshooter. Cesaro ends up at powering up Jericho. And hit him with a sit down Ricola bomb for a near fall. Jericho completely kicked out of the Ricola bomb. I did not see that coming. I feel like that move has been pretty much protected since he came over. Jericho with a catching code breaker while he goes for a springboard European uppercut for a near fall. That was awesome. Walter Jericho locked in. Cesaro starts doing the Brian head stomps. Gets a good couple of rotations on the swing. Then hits a big clothesline, a big discus clothesline for a near fall for Brody. The whole time Jericho's trying to call shenanigans. He low blows and then hits the Judas effect. And I can say that Chris Jericho in 2022 is the Ring of Honor champion. Unbelievable, I'm telling you. If Jericho can somehow get a fucking TNA run out of it and win the TNA champion, I think there's, like, Jericho will be on a league of his fucking own. It'll be insane. Like that, the Ring of Honor World Champion. But there was a good-ass match. I can see why you... Basically, this is going to be exactly what Jericho did for AEW in the beginning. Whatever project they have for Ring of Honor coming, Jericho is going to be, like, the one to kind of put his stamp on it. Sucks. I feel like Cesaro was having really good matches with people like Takeshita and all the people he was having, like Dax, and he was having good-ass Ring of Honor world title. It felt like the TV title more than the TNT title because you don't see that anymore. But it sucks, but I'm all for it. It was a really good match, so I can't really complain. Swerve in Our Glory versus The Acclaim for the AEW World Tag Team Champions. Swerve brings out fucking Fabulous out here. Fucking Fabolous. I was like, oh man, I haven't seen Fabulous in forever. Then DJ Who Kid comes out with the Acclaim. I'm just like, yo, what Def Jam game did I step into? Well, we started off Keith Lee with a running Hurricanrana. That will never not be impressive. It sucks that Keith Lee to me is just so fucking mid right now. Because, like, I love this dude in NXT, but he's missing something. He's really missing something. There's a couple people like that. Like, they went to AEW and they're missing something. I would definitely say Keith Lee's, like, high up there and a guy that just needs a little bit of extra of something. I just don't know what it is. Adam Cole's the same way, too. I have not found one thing Adam Cole has done so far other than the hardcore match he had with Hangman on Rampage. It's Rampage, baby. That's about it. I have not liked anything Adam Cole has done either. And it's weird because it's like in NXT, they fucking ran the shit. You know what I'm saying? They ran business out there. So hopefully one day I can get back into them. Right now they're just so mid. But we get like I said, he hits a nice, beautiful running hurricanrana. Max Caster with a big superplex on Keith Lee. No working up to it either. He just suplexed him in the beginning of the match. I thought that was kind of dumb. You know, you kind of work. You got to make him work for it. You know what I mean? Like, he just, blah, suplex. That's it. Bowens with a super kick, chop combo on Lee. Swerve with the house call kick on Bowens for a near fall. Bowens with the buckle bomb to Swerve, one-handed buckle bomb. Lee with a toss to the ramp to Bowens, tosses him all the way to the outside. Swerve hits Lee with the boom box by mistake. Swerve was trying to cheat. Swerve is the one that is clearly turning heel here. Top rope blockbuster by Lee. To Lee by Bowens. Swerve and Lee mess up this weird spot. I don't know what was supposed to happen. It looked like he was trying to, like, do a tag team version of the pants, but it did not work out. Swerve with a springboard 450 on the outside, and he doesn't, like, you know, when you land the 450, you hit him with, like, the chest, stomach area. Swerve hits him with both his knees. That looked scary as fuck, bro. Billy Gunn hits the Famouser on the outside to Swerve, who's talking all that shit to big old daddy ass. Swerve then gets hit with the mic drop and brand new tag team champions. It's about damn time. This Swerve and Our Glory thing needs to end. They have good ass matches, but to me, the team is just so fucking meh. Like, Swerve is just, I'm telling you, if I had a company, Swerve would be on my top five. People would laugh at me. Even if I had Brian and Jericho and all that stuff, Swerve would be on my top five. The guy can talk. The guy can go. He has a great fucking moveset. He's got good, you know, he's got a good vibe. He's just a really, really talented dude. Ever since Killshot, man, I'm telling you, that guy has always been like, that guy's really fucking good. Lee just needs to find that second gear, honestly. Like, he just needs something. I don't know what it is, because he's, like, Keith Lee's fucking great, but I don't know. But well-deserved to the Acclaim. They should have won it at the pay-per-view. The pay-per-view match was so much better. This was good, but not to the level of that pay-per-view match. That pay-per-view match was crazy with the near falls, bro. Like, it was cool to see them win it in New York, but you can't be WCW. Do the shit at the pay-per-view. That's what we pay money for. Wheeler Yuta is out for a promo, and I started, like, wincing. I'm like, oh, no. Oh, no. Such a good wrestler, but god damn, has the charisma of a dead sponge. And I don't know what Tony Khan was thinking. You send one of your worst promo guys out there with the king of promos, MJF. MJF doesn't even let him get a word in. Calls him mid. Yuta calls him human garbage and says his new wife is going to leave him. MJF calls them the Blackpool Cold Club. Oh my god, he's coming at freaking Daniel Bryan so hard, saying all you can learn from him is how to be injury prone and turn your brain into mush. I'm like, oh my god. He calls fucking Regal a pill popper. MJF is going sick. I missed this dude so much. I'm so happy he's back. They brawl it out. W. Morrissey comes up, my boy. Chokes out Yuta. And then hit him with the ring bell in the face. I don't mind MJF feuding with Yuta. He is that poor kid. That poor kid is gonna get destroyed. Just keep him away from the mic. You gotta do the Paul Heyman strategy. Yuta is a very, very good wrestler. Don't give this man a live mic against MJF. You're just asking for it, dude. We get another good match here. Orange Cassidy versus Pac the Bastard over here. I'm so glad ever since Pac has won this fucking All-Atlantic Championship, they have made this dude seem... Remember when he first came to AEW and he mollywopped Kenny and he mollywopped Hangman? He killed everyone's favorites, and I'm like... And everyone was so mad. They were like, yo, what is Pac beating Harry? Pac is fucking great. He's one of the best wrestlers in the world, and that's facts. But this is a good match here. I love the chemistry between these two guys. Pac is getting really pissed at Orange Cassidy. Orange is going right at it. Pac is just getting more and more pissed off. He hits a spaceman plancha right away. Basically, he hit the spaceman plancha, and Orange Cassidy just pulled a Miz and did not catch him. Like, this man legit hit. Fucking, like, he hit him a little bit, and then that's it. He did not help him. Pac is whooping his man's ass. We had a deadlift German by Pac. Stunned Dog Millionaire Orange tries to make a little bit of a comeback. Hits a top rope DDT for a near fall. Tornado DDT for a near fall. Orange Cassidy has legit the second best tornado DDT I've ever seen. So good. Pac, like I said, Pac and RVD have the greatest sells to a DDT I've ever seen. Pac just fucking looks like he breaks his own neck. It's crazy. Orange punch. Pac touches the rope to get out of there. Pac uses the ring bell hammer on Orange's head. That was a real, I like the way he did it too. He tucked it in between his knuckles. So I like the way that Pac like was insulting him, saying, "You're a piece of shit, you suck." But he had to cheat to beat Orange Cassidy. I thought that was pretty good storytelling. Like I said, I am not the biggest fan of Tony Khan's storytelling sometimes, but I definitely enjoyed that. We get Britt Baker versus Toni Storm versus Serena Dweeb versus Athena. 4-way for the AEW Women's title. Hopefully we are just working to fucking Jamie Hayter winning the damn title. Please, please strap this woman up. I love Toni Storm. I think she's having a really good run, better than fucking Thunder Rosa. That shit sucked ass. And it's a shame because I like Thunder Rosa, but her title run sucked butt. So we got a 4-way here. Serena is doing this cool... Serena was the star of this fucking match, by the way. I'm so glad they're doing Serena and Tony one-on-one tonight for the women's title. Serena is doing all this cool... She does like this weird double roll-up thing I've never seen before. She knocks both their legs over. Then she did a double submission. And then like she had a deathlock on while hitting a Northern Lights suplex. Serena was going ham in this match. Tower suplex spot by all the women. You know, usual 4-way, 3-way shit. Tony and Dweeb both have submissions on the other girls. But they're both having a slap fight while they have their own personal submissions on. I thought it was cool. They're all fighting. Why they still holding on, slapping the crap of each other. Serena with a twisted shout for a near fall. Big Tanahashi fan. She, like I said, she was the highlight of this match. Double fallaway slam by Athena. That's very strong of her, but it scares me every time I see her leg. I think it's going to explode. But this was the worst part of it. So Britt was behind her. Samoan drop style. I think Serena Dweeb was in front fallaway slam style. She slammed both of them, and then she basically squished Britt's face with her ass. Like, legit, just blah, squish. And as soon as I said that, I'm like, oh, she's done. Britt's nose explodes. She's bleeding all over the place. It's Britt's bad luck. Tony rolls up Britt for the win. I'm so glad she took the pin. She needs to be taking more pins. She likes to bury the women's division a lot, just with her words. Jamie Hayter comes out and ends up helping Britt. And then Paige here. Saraya. I'm gonna say Saraya. Paige debuts. Apparently 3-year contract, and she is gonna wrestle. I don't know how this is happening, or like I said, because I know she's had a very tough time getting cleared, but she is. I don't think she's even 30 yet, dude. That's the crazy thing about Paige. She's not even 30 yet, and she's had 5 years now, which is insane to heal. So. Like I said, look at Sting, my boy, fucking shit, going nuts. Sting, Edge, Bryan, everyone's come back, so I don't see why Paige can. So, big reaction here, too. So, hopefully they follow up. Like I said, they definitely got to let Paige talk. Paige is a very good, underrated promo. So, you put her in there with Britt and everything, she can show how it's done. If not, man, if she can't really wrestle that much, just let her be Jamie Hayter's mouthpiece, and we got business. John Moxley versus Bryan Danielson for the AEW World Title here. Bryan is murdering. I swear to God, I just love the fucking violence that Bryan brings to his match. He starts beating the shit out of John Moxley. I'm just trying to fight back, and he's just getting the shit beat out of him. Bryan is just tanking his strikes. Moxley can't do fucking anything to hurt this guy. Bryan is slapping the fuck out of Moxley, telling him to bring it. Moxley's fucking chest is already made out of meatball. Bryan is just whooping his ass. Bryan with a flying knee on the outside, and with a beautiful German on the apron. That was nasty. Hits a bukkake knee on Moxley. Mox catches Bryan with a powerbomb in the midair. That was really cool for a near fall. Mox with a leg lock, half Nelson suplex. I like when they do that. Asuka does that with a German. Top rope back suplex by Bryan for a near fall. Mox ends up locking in the LaBelle lock, but fucking duh. Bryan again He reverses out of the lapel lock and he ties his knees together. He just starts raining fucking knee strikes, man. I love this guy. Locks in cattle mutilation, hits the Bryan elbows, because, you know, the Blackpool Combat Club is just a fucking tribute band to Daniel Bryan, even though he's not dead. Bryan kicks his fucking head in. Mox no sells it into the King Kong lariat for a near fall. Bryan with another bukkake knee for another near fall. Moxley kicks out, but then Moxley wants more strikes. Freaking Bryan starts peppering him with some kicks. Moxley reverses, curve stomp, Death Rider. Bryan kicks out. I thought for sure that was it. I love when Moxley uses a curve stomp. I think that's really cool. I wouldn't mind him even using the spear sometimes. That would be kind of cool. Bryan stomps his fucking head in, locks in the lapel lock. Mox with another Death Rider on the stage, rolls him in the ring. Bryan kicks out again. Mox ends up jumping on top of Bryan and chokes him out for the third time, three-time AEW World Champion, Jon Moxley. Like I said, Moxley's been having a very good run. I know a lot of people hate Moxley. The whole bleeding thing is annoying, but you can't deny this dude has been putting in the work. Especially go watch Moxley in New Japan, bro. Like, this guy is a different human being in that company. He's so fucking good. His promos are even better over there. Like, go see the promo he cut after beating Desperado, El Desperado, at fucking Music City Mayhem. This guy is good. I just really didn't think he had to win the title again. It was set up perfectly, Bryan, because every opponent Bryan lost to was in the tournament, and he beat Jericho, he beat Hangman. All he had to do was beat Moxley. Bryan eats too many wins, and I don't understand. Dude, you have the greatest wrestler in the fucking world right now, and this dude's just eating pins. Like, why? Like, it's that whole, I hate when they do the, oh, he's Teflon, he can eat as many pins as he wants, he's a made man. Nope, you still need credibility. It's like, fucking, you know what I'm saying? It's like, Tanahashi does the perfect, like, or Tanahashi goes in a match, you don't know who's going to win, it's 50-50. But Tanahashi has put so many people over, where you could be like, I can see Tanahashi losing to this guy, but he still doesn't lose credibility if he does, because, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, he kicked out the Death Riders and all that shit, but that doesn't mean anything to me. That's just making the Death Rider look weak, which they did with CM Punk. Because that man should never be kicking out anything, but I don't know. I just don't like Bryan losing a lot. I think it's kind of stupid. It devalues him, and legit, he is the best wrestler in the world. You can fight it out between him and Will Ospreay, but they're the best wrestlers in the world. But that is Grand Slam. Yeah, right now we get into Grand Slam Night 2. Whoopsh. Yappapai. Where the fuck is he? Here it is. I thought this was also a very fun show. The Grand Slams are usually very good. We get the House of Curse over here. The House of Black. That shit's cursed. Like, fucking Buddy Matt. This is Buddy Matthews' last match for a while. Malakai's gone for a couple months, even though he did say he is returning to AEW, but we'll see about that. So we get the House of Black versus, I'm telling you, man, Brody King solo push versus Sting and Darby in a no DQ match. Sting and Darby end up jumping them in their entrance. The fighting is starting fast. My favorite match of the night, honestly. This is really good. King chops Darby out of the ring while he's placed on the top rope. Oh my God, this guy just hates himself. Buddy with the strikes on Sting. Sting no sells that shit and takes them both out. Darby with a super code red to King from the middle rope. Sting gets put through a table. Oh, it was so rough. So King ends up throwing Sting off the middle rope on the outside through two tables, and he breaks through one table. The second table, his head fucking bounced off it and broke through it. So Sting almost fucking died. Jesus Christ. Julia ends up handcuffing Sting. Kinky. Darby climbs on the stage, hits a coffin drop on Buddy. King chokes out Darby again. His feet are draping and dangling. I love that shit from the stage. But then Darby ends up trying to sacrifice himself, and he takes himself out with King. So they both go off the stage through a bunch of tables. Darby's back of his head is completely gashed open, bleeding all over the place. So he's pretty much done for the rest of the match. Buddy sits down. Sits down, Sting on a chair while he's handcuffed. And basically he has the bat. And he's fucking about to lose. He's about to fucking bash Sting's head in. So I'm like, oh shit, here we go. Sting starts fucking laughing, you know, Joker Sting style. He's like, yo, Sting's a fucking man, bro. I love this dude. This dude just don't sell shit. This was hardcore shit. And this dude's about to hit him with a fucking bat. My boy just laughing. He's like, I don't give a fuck. You suck. Fuck it, that sting, bro. The lights go out, and not gonna lie, completely caught off guard. I did not ever think I would see the great fucking Muta come out in AEW. The great Muta comes out to make the save. Missed on Buddy. Julia dies. She gets table bumped and misses the table and hits her back of her head on pure concrete. Damn, is it nice to be 20 years old? This woman walked away with zero problems. I don't know how she's not dead. She hit the guardrail and the concrete and missed the table. Jesus Christ. Sting then stares down Muta. They look like they're about to fight, but they chill out. Then Sting hits the Scorpion Death Drop, and we get a win here. And this is actually Muta's retirement tour, which Sting will be Muta's final opponent in Japan, of all places. Noah's getting the fucking Tokyo Dome for this shit. Jesus Christ, I don't know what's going on. I'm excited, though. That's good shit. We get 2.0 versus Action Bronson and Hook. Bronson looked good, you know. Hit a couple clotheslines, hit a couple shoulder blocks, you know, simple celebrity shit. This is the most selling Hook has ever had to do because Bronson was the one that was coming in for the comeback. Hook took all the heat. I'm not gonna lie, I love my man Hook, but he needs to work on the selling a little bit. But it's Taz, so he probably didn't teach him how to sell because Taz is the shit. It's Taz don't need to sell. So I'm like, Jade had this. Jade still has this problem. Jade does not know how to sell. I love Jade to death. She does not know how to sell because she's never had to. So hopefully, when they start having like big matches, you know what I'm saying? We'll see. But Hook took all the heat. They make a comeback. Double Taz mentioned for the win. Yada yada yada. Josh Woods and Tony Nese versus War Joe. We get a big brawl breaking out here. Wardlow hits a big spine buster. Wardlow ends up scaring me. He looks hurt after doing a cactus clothesline to the outside, but he pretty much sits out there the whole match. Joe hits a sit your ass down. Uranage from the corner. Muscle Buster done. Quick squashes here. We get a celebration where Wardlow is just like doing a bunch of power bombs. At least he's not super hurt. So we get a random match here, but this is a very fun match. Jungle Boy versus Rey Fénix. This is the shit I want on TV and AEW. I don't want fucking Moxley, Daniel Bryan. I want this. Like, I love those guys. Those guys are great, but I want this. Like, I want a random match between Ricky Starks and Rey Fénix or Penta, El Cerro, M negative 92, 69, 69 versus fucking Jungle Boy. You know what I'm saying? Like, I want this shit. But nice back and forth here. Jungle Boy hits a beautiful brainbuster for a near fall. We had a poison Rana by Jungle Boy too. Fénix hits his rolling thunder cutter for a near fall. Gory bomb cutter here. Fénix does this cool new move that looks pretty dope. Then a double rotation spin kick by Fénix for a near fall. Fénix with a running double cross body. This guy's fucking crazy. Hits the three amigos. Jungle Boy with the cradle shock. That popped me. Big Alex. Fucking Chris Sabin fan here. Then Jungle Boy rolls up Fénix and wins the match. Fun match here. Both guys needed to win, but Jungle Boy needed it more. And, you know, him and Fénix kind of respect. They're cool. They're chilling. Christian Cage comes out, my fucking guy. Luchasaurus comes out, attacks him, hits a fucking burning hammer. I'm like, all right, let's get it. Christian is giving him one more chance. Christian says if he shows up next week, he's dead. So let's see what we're getting with that. I'm glad that Christian's surgery didn't slow down the rivalry. You know, they're still doing stuff. That was good. We get the cursed match here of Sammy Guevara versus Eddie Kingston. Sammy's Dragon Ball Z Titantron is fucking awesome. I love it. He's like beating up the whole roster Dragon Ball style, and they're all drawn in like Dragon Ball art. Really cool shit. I miss when Sammy used to wear like the Dragon Ball pins and all that stuff. I miss Sammy being Sammy. That's the one thing I hate that Jericho kind of took that away from him. Because you even hear Jericho. Jericho's like, no panda, no this, no that. I'm like, Sammy should just be Sammy. Because that's how I started liking him when I saw him wrestle in other places. You know what I mean? But this match is cursed, but we got it. Sammy with a V trigger. We get a Cody Cutter by Sammy for a near fall. Machine gun chops by Eddie Kingston. Three jumping knees and a super kick by Sammy for a near fall. Eddie basically gets his revenge. He hits the fucking spinning back slap. Another one. Another one. Another one. Locks in the stretch plum. Will not let go of the hold for like 5 minutes. And since he refused, his decision was reversed. And instead of Eddie Kingston winning the match, Sammy Guevara is now the winner. A fun little match here, but I don't understand why you would do a rematch now. Fucking Sammy legit got the shit beat out of him, got hit with like four finishers, and tapped out like a bitch. So you don't really have to do a rematch here, I guess. We get Diamante versus Jade, TBS title. Trina comes out with Jade, fucking baddest bitch out here. Pump kick, Jade with an F5 on the apron. That was really cool. Jaded, done. You know how this goes. Trina then betrays Diamante because she came with her and goes with Jade instead. So, yeah, whatever. We get a golden ticket battle royale here. I feel like we just had one of these with Brody King. Hangman gets jumped by all the heels in the match. Dark Order comes to make the save. I fucking blinked and saw Brian Cage in there and got fucking hyped and then he got thrown out. And then I saw Dalton Castle in there, and I was like, yo, let's get it. You see, I would have had someone like Dalton Castle win this match. You know, someone fresh, someone new. Like, you know, when they had, like, Moxley versus Roosh, and when they did, like, Moxley and Brody King. You got to have something fresh. But I would have had, like, Cage or fucking Dalton Castle win this shit. Castle takes out Cage. Private Party finally forgives Matt Hardy. That was a cool little moment. You've been following the BTE stuff where Matt's pretty much asking for forgiveness from Private Party. Roosh and Hangman are the last ones in there, which makes no sense to me. I would have had a different people in there, but okay. The match almost ended on the Batista-Cena botch where they both almost threw each other out at the same time. They had to save that one real quick. Rite of passage on the apron for the win, and Hangman gets the title shot. We get Hangman versus Moxley. I don't think that's ever happened before. And we get the match that deserved the main event spot because they got screwed at the pay-per-view having a four-minute match. Ricky Starks versus Powerhouse Hobbs. Powerhouse Hobbs pretty much buried Ricky Starks on the pay-per-view in a four-minute match with a spine buster. So this is a lights-out match here. Finally, they use Ricky to use one of his cool intros from the NWA. He used to do so many cool like little ads and shit. Like, this guy's mind works in mysterious ways. But I just like his fucking style. He's great. Guys are going right at it. Hobbs hits the Okada neckbreaker, you know, the little side one. Hobbs with a power slam on a chair. Power slam. We get a low blow by Hobbs, and then Starks returns the favor, so both men are down. We get a back body drop on the top of chairs. Ricky Starks is feeling that one. Another power slam on a chair by Hobbs for a near fall. Hobbs ends up ripping a light tube thing from the tunnel. Ricky with a spear through the table, actually picks him up for the Rochambeau. Done. Ricky wins. This is a big, big win for Ricky. I thought this definitely was the second best match on the show, but it definitely deserved to be the main event. But I really, really like the House of Black Sting Darby shit and the great fucking Muda. Come on now. It's the great fucking Muda. But yeah, I thought overall both Grand Slammers were really fun shows. All right, time for some freaking New Japan, man. I've missed talking about these right here. New Japan, Music City Mayhem. I thought this was a very fun show. I'm only going to talk about the matches I cared about. First, we get Rocky Romero versus Davey Richards for the MLW National Open Weight title. Fun little match here. Good holds back and back. I really love Davey Richards' like theme song. That shit's heat. He looks in phenomenal shape, by the way. I haven't seen Davey Richards kind of in a little bit, but he looks fucking great. I'm surprised no big companies try to scoop this man up. I know he's got a lot of, like, attitude-y issues, you know, a little Austin-y-ish, but I don't know. This guy's good. They're working holds back-to-back. Davey with a standing figure four, which he then turns into, like a weird dragon screw. I've never seen that before. That was really cool. Davey is trying to get Rocky to tap off stiff kicks. Basically, he's kicking him. And he keeps asking the ref if, like, you know, give him up. Rocky with the forever clotheslines gets derailed, but then hits one more last one. And then he hits a nice draping dropkick. Basically, his end of the Storm Zero for a near fall. Then hits the Dragon Cutter for another near fall. Hits a good Fucking Rocky ends up getting reversed and gets dropped by a really nice brainbuster by Davey. Then Davey does a roll up and gets the win. Fun little match here, good little opener. They both look like they're gonna fight, but they end up hugging it out because these guys used to be former tag team, all that stuff. That was fun. We get Blake Christian versus Hiromu. This was probably my second match of the night. I thought this was really good. Super speed to start off. Hiromu doesn't come to the States often, but when he does, is really cool. We get a victory roll into a quick frog splash by Blake Christian for a near fall. Big dive to the outside, Kon Hilo. Hiromu is chopping the crap out of Blake Christian. He's holding onto his hands while he does it. Handspring kick by Blake. Then a snap half and half suplex. That was really nice. Fillsbury flop into the inverted DDT. That's his claim to fame right there. That's his shit. I don't know how that dude does that. Fucking Fillsbury flop lands on his feet and hits an inverted DDT on the outside. Blake is busted open because he had a GCW match, I think, last night, and the wound was still kind of fucked, so he ends up bleeding hard way. Nasty, too. Discus clothesline by Blake Christian for a near fall. We get another 450. He hits a big 450 for a near fall. Hiromu hits the nasty belly-belly toss in the corner. Pumping bomber, time bomb number two for the win. Basically makes a comeback moment here and gets the win. Definitely would like to see these two tear it up some more. I like both these guys. United Empire, which is TJP and Aussie Open versus FTR and Alex Zane. I love me some Alex Zane. This guy's going to be great, dude. Nice to see TJP. I always think he's very underrated. This guy's good. This guy does good shit. Good stiff little tag team match here. Aussie Open, basically start beating the crap out of FTR a lot. Nasty lariat by Dash. Aussie Open gets the win with their double team wheelbarrow slam, and then end up challenging FTR for their tag team champions at Royal Quest. I think they're doing that, so that should be a really good match. I don't know if you take the titles off FTR yet, but I feel like Aussie Open really need those titles. They're like one of the best tag teams out there right now. We get a really cool match here. We get Alex Shelley versus Kushida. The time splitters are going at it one-on-one. They gave these guys a lot of time, a lot of good back and forth, a lot of good holds. Kushida working the arm, Shelley working the leg. So a lot of good selling here. Guys know each other very well. They hit all their stuff and end up dodging it. Kushida keeps working the arm, going for his hoverboard lock. We get a nice wheelbarrow DDT by Kushida, and then a nice hip toppers drop kick for a near fall. Shelly ends up hitting a bunch of chops and a bunch of kicks, trying to take him down. The match goes a full 20-minute draw, no winner. I see, like, that's what you do when both guys need to win. You do a draw. Like, that's how it should be. You do a fucking draw. It was great. It was perfect. But I thought this match was really fun. I would love to see the time splitters get back together. Then we get the main event here, Moxley versus El Desperado in a no DQ match. This was a really, really fun match. Like I said, I don't know. When Moxley does New Japan stuff, I feel like his work rate is better. His promos are better. Everything's just better. Like the vibe, the theme, everything that Moxley does in New Japan to me is just better. I will put his G1 run against his whole AEW run, and people could laugh at me. Everything was just fucking better when he was like only doing New Japan. We got the barbed wire board set up early. Mox is busted open, of course. That's his dream. Nasty guitar shot to Desperado by Moxley because Desperado brought a guitar with him. Desperado is hitting some offense here, some suplexes, some strikes. Brian elbows by Moxley. Now Desperado is busted open, which is hard to do with a mask. Pinche Loco, but Mox ends up kicking out. He tries to go for Numero Dos, but Moxley ends up getting out of there. King Kong Lariat, Death Rider locks in the bully choke for the win. Very fun main event. I like that it was a no DQ match. Because, New Japan doesn't do a lot of that, but they're really good at it. Like, go watch the Tanahashi and Kenta match. That match is fucking awesome. I thought Kenta died. And then Moxley cuts a fucking hell of a promo where I love the line he said. I'm telling you, this guy is so good in New Japan. The line he said was awesome. He's like, I don't care what letters are in front of that company. It could be AEW, it could be NJPW, it could be fucking XYZ. The only three letters you need to worry about are MOS. X, because when you see those letters, shit's about to go down. I was like, damn, this guy's so fucking good in New Japan. Like, oh my god, it's just weird. I'm just like, why does this man, like, he like turns it up to 1,000. He's not as wacky. He's very like, just like serious ass kicker, man. I don't know, but I thought it was a fun show. Definitely, I would check out. Love the main event. I like the Blake Christian Hiromu match for sure. Yeah. All right, and now we are doing some New Japan Burning Spirit. Obviously, I'm not reviewing everything. I'm reviewing, I want to say, at least four matches that I really liked. But we started off with Okada and Tanahashi. I always like watching Okada and Tanahashi tag because it's like the ultimate fucking power team. Like, their stats should be 1,000. Versus Shane Thorne and Jonah. I love me some Shane Thorne, man. He's great. The crowd was going insane for Okada and Tanahashi. Even Jonah and fucking Thorne got a lot of cheers because, like, people were just so happy to be able to cheer again. That's what made this show kind of special. But the crowd is going crazy. We got a sidewinder back suplex by Shane Thorne for a near fall. Banzai drop by Jonah on the fucking chest of Tanahashi. Okada keeps trying to lift Jonah the whole entire match because Jonah's kind of been a little kryptonite to Okada. He has a win over Okada, and Okada hasn't gotten his win back yet. But this has been good stuff, but he keeps failing and failing. He fails 3 times to pick up Jonah. Locks in the money clip. Jonah gets out of that easy. Shane is going crazy with the hot tag. Corner leg lariat. Beautiful cannonball. Shane ends up kicking Jonah by mistake. Okada and Tana work together. They double suplex Jonah finally. Twist a shout. Tana hits a sling blade. Ace is high. High fly flow. And we are out of here. Fun match. Crowd was going nuts. Send the crowd super home happy. Another tag team I will always watch is Shingo and Hiromu. Because I swear to God, they feel like fucking brother and little brother. Or like dad and son. I like when Hiromu gets with Shingo, because then he starts doing all that crazy shit versus Kenta and El Phantasmo. El Phantasmo has been an unsung hero of New Japan. This guy is so fucking hilarious and he's got so much charisma. And I love when he's with Kenta because Kenta becomes an extra asshole when he's with him. The whole time Kenta is promoting his fucking book at the fuck, he's like shamelessly plugging the book at the camera. ELP is shamelessly plugging this stupid shirt that he has because he did an upset. He's the one that stopped Shingo from going into the G1 finals, technically. So ELP over here has been basically saying he is Shingo's daddy. That's what it says. He gets the crowd to chant Shingo's daddy. Shingo gets really. I like that this is bringing out an aggressive side of Shingo. Shingo whoops this man's fucking ass for the next 5 minutes. Kenta's just screaming daddy the whole entire match. I'm dying. I thought it was funny. Fucking daddy, daddy. ELP with a moonsault to the outside. Then he hits a moonsault on the inside. Kenta's like, yo, I want to do a fucking moonsault. He's hyping up the crowd. I'm just like, I don't think I've ever seen Kenta do a fucking moonsault. He fucking jumps, doesn't do it. Soccer kicks the living soul out of Hiromu's face. Oh my god, I thought that man got a concussion. Awesome strike exchange by ELP and Shingo. Good stuff. ELP gets the advantage with a fucking enziguri. We get a pop-up super kick combo by Shingo and Hiromu. Pumping bomber on ELP. Made in Japan for a near fall. Low blow, Johnny Cage style. And Shingo gets rolled up. ELP wins. I can't believe it. They're really making El Phantasmo the kryptonite of Shingo Takagi. It's good stuff. He fucking tries to showboat with Shingo. You know, he's still talking about how he's his daddy and whatever. Shingo recovers quick and gets super pissed, beats the shit out of him after the match. And yeah, we'll continue with that. We get Tanahashi versus Karl Anderson a couple nights later for the Neverweight Open title. I thought for sure they were going to give Tanahashi back the Neverweight Open title. But Karl's been having a pretty decent run, I would say. Guys are very even. I like when Carl goes back to New Japan. My boy's man motivated. Doc for choke slam to the apron to Tanahashi. Then Carl Anderson takes control. Nasty dragon screw by Tana. Basically, from this on, Carl Anderson's knee is fucked the whole match. Good selling. He even sells it great when he wins. He like goes in the fetal position holding his knee. Fucking the ref gets distracted, and Tana actually ends up tapping out Carl Anderson into Cloverleaf early on. The ref didn't see it. Sling blade, aces high, near fall there. Doc gets involved again. Gun stun out of nowhere, and that's a big, big win for Carl Anderson. What comes in beating Tanahashi, crazy. Then we get the match of the fucking, Jesus, this match was so good. We get David Finlay versus Will Ospreay for the IWGP US title. And honestly, one of the best parts of this match was the video package leading up to it, where they show baby David Finlay and baby Ospreay, but baby Ospreay doing everything Finlay couldn't do. Or there was like Ospreay debuted, he fucking wrestled, I think, Okada or something. And then he won the Super Juniors while David Finlay sat as a young boy with zero wins for the whole year. It was kind of a really cool promo package. And it's like, David Finlay is going to be big, dude. Did they actually push this guy right? Ospreay is getting his ass whooped later on, early on. Ospreay ends up picking up the announcer's table and throws it right in Finley's face. We get a gunshot fucking chop by Ospreay. I thought for sure David Finlay's nipples were ripped off. Kawada kicks by Ospreay. We get a really cool twisting blue thunderbomb by Finlay. He fucking twists so hard that he doesn't even hang on to it. Powerbomb on the apron by Ospreay. That looked like a suck. Then hits a big sky twister dive on the outside. Fucking they're fighting it out, and Ospreay ends up sending out two tables that he's trying to put Finlay through. Finlay ends up fighting back. He takes the shillelagh and smashes Ospreay's hand. And this is where the match completely turned around, because it went from Finlay whooping his ass to Ospreay whooping his ass to now Finlay is in full control. Ospreay's hand is fucked up. Great selling by Ospreay. He couldn't even do his mannerisms the whole match. He couldn't even do his moves right the whole match. It was great. There was a cool spot where he tapes his hand. He has the United Empire tape his hand up just so he can try to finish the match. I'm telling you, man, Will Ospreay is the best wrestler in the world right now. That's facts. He tapes his fingers together. Finlay with an Irish curse backbreaker. Freaking then a nasty half and half suplex on the apron. Acid drop through two tables, and I am the table. They didn't break. Finlay gets super pissed about this and just power bombs him through two tables. Ospreay's fucking dead. Another acid drop. Ospreay kicks out again. Great near fall. I thought that was actually it. Brain buster on the knee, but fucking Ospreay grabs the rope. Hidden blade out of nowhere. Hook kick. Fucking he goes for the ox cutter again, but catching acid drop for another near fall. Again, they almost had me there too. Super ox cutter from the top rope for a near fall. Ospreay goes to hit Stormbreaker, instead hits a pedigree, old school style too, the fucking tombstone looking one. Hidden blade, but Finlay kicks out. Basically, Finlay is completely knocked out from the hidden blade. He kicked out of adrenaline. Stormbreaker done. Somehow this match was better than the G1 match, and I thought this was one of the best matches I've seen in a couple months. This match was true fantastic. It's 5 stars as 5 stars can get. I thought it was awesome. I'm telling you, I don't know what the hell got into David Finlay, but my boy is on a fucking another level. He's crazy. He's turning it up real good. Ospreay's turning it up real good. We got Juice Robinson fucking fighting Moxie on AEW tonight, so that should be fun. But yeah, good stuff all around. Like I said, New Japan, I know it's not the star powered thing that it used to have, but it still has, to me, the best wrestling on the shows. Like, I put that fucking Finlay Ospreay match against anything AEW or WWE has done is good stuff.